This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com or on Facebook or True Social at The John Whitmer Show. And of course, on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Also want to remind you that the John Whitmer Show is expanding. We're thrilled to be rebroadcasting the show on Saturdays from 1 to 3. So if you don't catch us live here on Sundays, you can always catch us on Saturday afternoons from 1 to 3. And I'm thrilled to have that. I actually happen to be driving out on Saturday after attending the protests downtown, and I turned on KMSS, and lo and behold, there I was. And I was like, oh, that's weird, because I normally don't hear myself on the radio. So it was kind of weird. Oh, by the way, next Sunday, former Republican Senator Phil Graham will be with us. So always, we've had him on the show a couple times. He's always fun to have. And we've got some other big guests coming. So make sure you stick around. Check out the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X. By the way, my X feed has blown up over the last few days. I've got one tweet that's like 300,000 views. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But we've got a great show planned for you, by the way. Former Governor Dr. Jeff Collier, who was state chair of President Donald Trump's 2024 election re-election campaign or election campaign, will join us to review the president's first 100 days. Corey DeAngelis, senior fellow at the American Culture Project, will be with us to discuss this week's Supreme Court hearing on a case on religious charter schools. Corvette dealership owner Douglas Ernest will be with us to explain why he says he's already seeing the benefits of Trump's tariffs. Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will warn us how the city of Wichita has once again intended to exceed the revenue neutral rate and raise property taxes. A big shock there. That's in addition to some members of the city council that actually want to raise the mill levy. Go figure. And my buddy Andy Hoosier and I went down yesterday and interviewed some of the protesters who have been inundating downtown Wichita every Saturday. And we interviewed some of the protesters. He'll join us here next hour, and we'll play we'll play some of our Man on the Street interviews for you. That's all coming up next hour. And of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. If you've got your calendar in front of you, I want you to mark this date, because there's only 28 days left, less than a month, before the deadline to file to run for local office here in Kansas. And I don't normally do this. I don't normally encourage folks who are, haven't really thought about it before to run. But, it's an important time right now. That's 28 days to decide if you're going to step up and lead, or step back and let someone else, someone with very different values, take the reins in our community. Be this the Goddard School District, or down in Derby, or up in Mays. We've got important local elections coming up, and right now the Dems are filling seats. We haven't seen a whole lot of Republicans step up. And by the way, folks, don't buy the hogwash. These are not nonpartisan races. I know they're going to tell you that, and they say that on paper, and the press loves to tout it, but that's malarkey. I mean, look at the city of Wichita. We've got a former member of a former chair of both parties, our current city council members. The former mayor was a former state rep, state representative. So the days of these local offices being nonpartisan is long gone. And it's high time that people, regular people who are passionate and who care, decide to run for local office. Because here's the truth that they don't want you to hear. Local government matters more than ever. And in many cases, it matters more than your state government. In some cases, more than your federal government. Your city councils, your school boards, your county commissions, these are the front lines of the fight for your values. And in many ways, they impact your day-to-day life more than your state rep does, or your state senator, and certainly more than your congressman does. And they've been quite literally and quite quietly infiltrated for years by folks who don't share our priorities. People who want to raise your taxes, erode parental rights, push divisive identity politics into our schools, and dictate how you live your life. You look at the city of Wichita. They're facing massive budget shortfalls. The county's facing budget shortfalls. It's because the people who have been in these positions for years have overspent. And the people who are there now, certainly at the city council, there aren't enough conservative members there who are willing to do the hard things, make the hard decisions, and cut spending. At your school boards, how many of these local school bond initiatives are coming up right now? Goddard, Mays, we've had one just recently down in Hayesville, of course, Wichita, Andover, Augusta's got one as well. Massive, massive bond initiatives, most of which are just because they want to spend more money. It's not because they need any more money. It's because they want more of your money. People who want to raise your taxes and dictate how you live your life, erode your parental rights, that's who's been quietly infiltrating these local governmental agencies for years. It's time to take that power back. Too many conservatives think the big change happens only in Washington. But you know who saw the local level for what it is. It's President Reagan. He said, all great change in America begins at the dinner table. And that's because that's how the local system works. It works from the local level up. It works from your home up. And your local school board decides what's being taught at that dinner table. Your city council decides how safe your neighborhood is and how much your paycheck is left after local taxes and fees. Like I say, we'll talk to Elizabeth Patton here coming up in just a few minutes about the very fact that the city of Wichita wants to raise your taxes again. If we want to preserve our way of life, we have to start right here at home. If you're tired of seeing boys compete in girls' sports, if you're done with schools pushing radical gender ideology while falling behind in math and reading, if you're fed up with woke city leaders apologizing for enforcing the law and draining budgets on progressive pet projects or $600,000 porta potties or millions of dollars in art at the water treatment plant, this is your moment. You don't need to be a career politician. In fact, we'd prefer you weren't a career politician. But it's time now to step up 28 days before the filing deadline. We need everyday Kansans, people who've raised kids, run businesses, worked the land, paid bills, served their churches, and love this state like we do. We need people who've signed on the front of checks and not always on the backs of checks. We need leaders who believe that freedom is worth defending, that taxes should be low, and that the truth, not ideology, should guide our schools and policies. And that's exactly why we need humble, grounded, accountable conservatives in office. Not self-proclaimed experts, not activists with agendas, but servants. Leaders who know that they don't have all the answers, but are willing to listen, lead, and protect the community. Now let's get specific. Here's how it works. Kansas's filing deadline for local office is, as I said, just 28 days away. You can run for school board. You can run for city council. You can run for township clerk. Maybe your city's got a mayor that's up. County commissioner, if you happen to, you know, within my listening audience, maybe you got a county commissioner open. You name it. Every one of these positions influences our daily lives. Every one is a place where conservative leadership is desperately needed. Don't wait for someone else to do it, because let me tell you, the left isn't waiting. They're already organizing. They've got progressive lawyers and consultants lined up, candidates crafting narratives, the teachers' unions. They're already out there looking for and recruiting left-wing radical candidates who will rubber stamp their initiatives, and they're targeting conservative strongholds for takeover. They're counting on conservatives staying asleep at the local level and then just not bothering to show up at election time. Well, not this time. So here's what I want you to do after tonight's broadcast, after the broadcast, I want you to go to your county election office website or the Sedgwick County GOP website at sedgwick.gop. Find out what positions are open. Look at the paperwork, ask questions, and seriously consider whether it's time for you to lead. Because if not you, then who? And if not when, if not now rather than when? This is how we protect our kids. This is how we secure our freedom. This is how we preserve Kansas values. Not just for ourselves, but for our children and our grandchildren, because local office isn't about ego. It's about service. It's not about getting paid, because Lord knows you're not going to make a heck of a lot. It's about, maybe you will, city council and county commission, but certainly not at a school board. But it's about standing up when your community needs you most. So step up, file, run, lead. If you've ever felt called to stand up for common sense values and ensure our communities reflect the voices of the people, now is the time. So reach out to your county party today. Reach out and learn how you can take the first steps towards public service. 28 days. Kansas is counting on you. We'll take a quick break, and then Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will warn us how the city of Wichita is once again intending to exceed the revenue neutral rate and raise your property taxes. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Folks, you have the power to change the trajectory of your city, of our county for that matter. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up today to get involved. If you're looking for a way to get involved, to get engaged, if you want to get involved in this election cycle, AFP is a fantastic way to do so. Again, it's AmericansForProsperity.org. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and through social pages. And you can find and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, we've seen this before. This is a freaking broken record, But once again, it appears the city of Wichita is intending to exceed the revenue neutral rate and raise property taxes. With us now to explain what that could mean for you is Elizabeth Patton with Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate that.
So, I know, and to his credit, Dalton Glasscock has put together a citizen-led committee that's looking at spending cuts and efficiencies and things like that. But, right. I mean, they're just, and this may be driven by staff. I don't know. But once again, R&R, I mean, seriously, they're just not, are they not even willing to look at tightening the belt at all? They're just going straight into property taxes.
Right. And that's what's really disappointing, honestly. And to your point, you know, there's even members of my team and then a lot of folks from all over the city from a lot of different backgrounds on that citizen-led committee to try to find those inefficiencies. And I haven't seen the final report, but I understand they're finding some. And, you know, every level of government has plenty of waste, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm on that committee. Trust me. We have found. I mean, you'd be shocked.
Waste.
Yes. It's hard decision. It's not hard, but it's some of the easy stuff. And yet, you know, you can clearly see lines where, well, we could cut blank, but oh, I guarantee you that guy's a donor to half the people sitting on those chairs up there. And that, right. You know, quid pro quo.
Oh, goodness. And, you know, we just hope that that's not their motivation. But we really, you know, it's important to take governing seriously.
Yes.
And going to extend revenue neutral when we know that, especially in the last couple of years, people have rejected property tax increases and they don't want higher property tax bills at the end of the day. Like, that is not what the city of Wichita wants. They would rather see the city of Wichita leaders find, whether it's duplication with the county, duplication with the state, potential waste, opportunities to be more lean, that would be welcome and a breath of fresh air instead of rating revenue neutral rate. And, you know, I think it's really important to remember those of us, those of you who live in actual Wichita, there are public hearings coming up on the August 7th, 19th, and 26th. And all three of those dates, it would be really important to make your voice heard and say, we don't want the revenue neutral rate exceeded. This is a part of Truth in Taxation that was passed by the legislature a couple of years ago. And a piece of that is there will be notice sent out, but we are asking citizens of Wichita to stand up and make their voices heard that they don't want their property taxes to get raised. Although poor residents, I mean, you guys have made your voices heard repeatedly over the last two or three years. But it's time they listen, and it's not acceptable to raise property taxes right now.
You're right. We've made our voices heard. They just unfortunately fall on deaf ears. We're talking with Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. And case in point, you know, here we have Brandon Johnson, who's frankly never seen a tax increase he didn't like, who literally from the bench just talked last week about, well, we've got a budget shortfall, and they do. They have a budget shortfall coming up. It's multiple millions of dollars. It could be because they spent, you know, $600,000 on a couple of shitters, or because they've got, you know, they spend $1.2 million on art at the water treatment plant. But so he's proposed a couple of options, a mill levy increase, an actual mill levy increase, or a 1% sales tax. In order, again, he doesn't propose any cuts in spending. He just wants more taxes.
Right, right. And that just cannot be the solution, is just automatic taxes. It just can't be. That's already been done. That's already been done by the city of Wichita. And, you know, there are elections coming up for some of those members on, November is coming again this year. So people should remember that municipal elections are this year and an off-year election.
Yeah. Mike Hoheisel and Maggie Ballard are both on the ballot this fall. And let's hope that we have legitimate candidates to run against both of them.
It's just appalling to me that the answer wouldn't be, hey, these are spending cuts that need to be made. This is where we're taking a scalpel. No one's asking anybody to take, you know, Thor's sledgehammer, although, you know, depends on my mood, I suppose. But let's really take a look at this budget and make sure that we are being as efficient as possible, because that is what that's what the people of Wichita deserve. And so for the lawmakers like Brandon Johnson, for example, to only suggest a tax increase instead of some long-term fiscal responsibility and some cuts, that's really sad.
Well, and again, I've said it before, and look, I'm all in if they want to spend right now, for example, they spend 2% of their budget, which is not a lot. It's only 2%, but 2% of the budget is earmarked for art. And whether or not you like that idea or not, you could make an argument that when the city's flush and you got decent revenues, okay, you could dedicate that. But right now, when you're facing a shortfall, that's when you tighten your budget, and that's when you say, this year, no money for art because we're short.
Right. Exactly. It's just like a family. You know, we're kitchen table economics, right? You know, it's like sometimes the American people are struggling. Wichita residents are struggling, and they have to tighten their belts. Grocery bills, all the things. We are fighting as a, you know, Bidenomics caused just unconscionable is a better word, inflation on our pocketbooks. And we're trying to climb out of that. And the last thing that the people of Wichita need is a tax increase on top of all of that. And it's just, that's a real shame. Instead, I would love for them to focus on opportunities to grow Wichita in smart ways, absent, you know, too many incentives that are giving away extra tax money that unnecessarily, making sure that we are putting a scalpel to the budget and making sure that we are being responsible and as efficient as possible. And that should be always the answer. That's what the people of Wichita want. They have said so repeatedly over the last few years. And to not get that done, there should be consequences at the end of this year for those sitting in office.
It's like you say, it's like your family budget. When you're struggling for money, you cut your Netflix bill. You don't just and that's City of Wichita should do the same thing. I know you guys have a bunch of stuff coming up. In fact, this show, we're going to be broadcasting live from your downtown headquarters at Union Station coming up on the 18th. But I know you're also, your whole team, you're out door knocking right now, helping to educate voters. If folks want to get involved, if they want to find out about your events and things that are going on in the community, what's the best way for them to find out about you and connect?
Really, the best way to find out about us is to make sure that you are following us on social media. So follow us on X, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. Make sure that you are navigating to our state page on AmericansForProsperity.org. But you can always also check out some of our agenda items at SunflowerStateSolutions.com. Right now, we are doing a lot of walking on several issues, including on tax and budget, but also on educating folks on the judicial system here that we have in Kansas, which right now sucks. So if you want to make your voice heard and make a difference and help educate some of your fellow Kansans, join us. We have a good time and we get a lot done.
Well, again, Elizabeth, thank you. And I look forward to, again, we'll be broadcasting from the headquarters there on the 18th. And if folks are interested, again, it's AmericansForProsperity.org. Thank you again. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up, Corvette dealership owner Douglas Ernest will join us to explain why he says he's already seeing the benefits of Trump's tariffs. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, President Trump has launched one of the most courageous and, frankly, audacious economic policies in American history, his tariff war, for lack of a better phrase. My next guest, Douglas Ernest, is the owner of Corvette Warehouse, the largest Corvette dealership in the Southwest. I'm hoping, you know, maybe he hooks me up with a free ride here. And he says anyone reacting to the tariffs at the moment, worrying over market sell-offs, panicking over international reaction, isn't seeing the big picture. Douglas, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, it's my pleasure to visit with everybody this evening.
So, Douglas, you say you're already seeing the benefit of Trump's tariffs. Can you kind of explain that? Because I saw, I mean, even this afternoon as I was watching the Sunday shows, of course, you know, the mainstream media is all doom and gloom and that, you know, car parts are going to be costing $10,000s more due to the tariffs. And yet you say you're already seeing the benefits.
You know, thank you again for letting me voice my perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Because our story at Corvette Warehouse is a story that the legacy mainstream media doesn't want these listeners and readers and the American people to read, understand, or even see what's going on. But the reality is, my business, on our business, we're the largest Corvette dealer in the Southwest. We employ 10 to 12 people in our building, and we employ hundreds of people in our outsourced partners that do all the work to get these Corvettes on the road and restore them. And our business was completely decimated, and we were losing seven figures per year. Again, I say that again, seven figures per year under the Biden administration. When Donald Trump came out in November and December and was the elect, we were still losing money. When he came to work at the Oval Office in January, he put out a phased tariff policy announcement that was very layered, structured, extremely smart, and it was phased in. It wasn't a shock and awe to the public. It was something that was brought out in phase announcements that immediately made our business go higher. And why it is, we are an American company. We sell American goods. Most of the products that we sell are made in America. And we are the epitome of what you would think of what the American product is. Corvette is the number running, longest running product line of an American car. You wouldn't believe it, but most American product lines get shut down 10, 20, 30 years. The Corvette has been running almost 80 years. So our business immediately took off, and it went into the first year profitability in January, February, and improved. And in March, it was a record month. And let me just tell your listeners one thing that they have to understand. When the stock market was making its temporary correction in March, and we hit NASDAQ 15,000 and Dow 37,000, and like you mentioned, the pundits from the legacy media were freaking out on mainstream TV, we hit record sales. We usually sell 25, 30 Corvettes a month. We sold 23 Corvettes the week that the stock market hit that correction. And the stock market is only a few percentage points off its all-time high for the S&P 500. So the Liberation Day losses have been completely erased. Things are on the way up, and this is a temporary setback and a long-term horizon move by the Trump administration to correct the unfair trade policies of the United States, and something that will benefit the American business and benefit the American workers.
Do you think that what this is ultimately going to find or result in is that folks will start basically buying American again? Is that, I mean, I know that's his goal. Do you think that's what will be the end result?
Absolutely. I mean, we're living proof. We have had our customers for the last 3 or 4 years move away from us. They were buying Porsches. They were buying Mercedes. And those that would buy the expensive cars like the Z06s and ZR1s, they were buying Lamborghinis because you had such a better value when you buy an import. Number one, the parts are better value. The cars are a better value. You get a lot more horsepower for your dollar. So our customers were moving away. We had extremely hard time bringing our customers back the last 3 to 4 years. The last 3 months, those customers have returned, and they have told us they are returning because they know they need to buy American, because in the future, it might be harder to get parts for a foreign import, but not for an American car. They're also coming back because they believe in America, the tradition of the American spirit, and the Corvette is, you know, that's the quintessential sports car product for the United States, which is the, you know, the Corvette product line. As I mentioned, it has been in existence for 80 years. And, you know, it was only, you know, Chevy's been around for over 100 years and the Corvette for 80. It's absolutely returning. The pendulum has swung, and it has swung strong. We had a temporary setback, and we're almost back to where we were before Liberation Day. We are actually only 3% off the high, I believe, on the S&P 500. So right now, things are changing. The transition is going on. The partners of our trading are being reset in a gambit, if you will. And as we figure out who's going to play the game, who's going to do business with us and play fair, we're going to find out in the future that the American economy is going to strong. And I personally believe, after what I've seen, that we're about to experience the strongest economy in the history of our country.
Your lips to God's ears, Douglas. We're talking to Douglas Ernest, the owner of Corvette Warehouse. I do have to push back on one thing, only because my wife owns a Mustang and she's a big Mustang fan. She'd probably, you know, push back on you on the Corvette being the you know, America's top rod. I think she'd probably tell you that it's a Mustang, but I got to defend the missus on that one. Let me ask you this. You know, I think if you look at it, I see the whole tariff thing. It's not isolationism, but a strategic move toward balanced trade, because the president is right. For years, America has been getting the shaft. I mean, we've been disadvantaged by these trade deals from other countries that have had sometimes 200-300% trade deficits, imposed tariffs imposed upon us, and we have just had to basically eat it. And he's finally just trying to bring some balance. How long do you think people will give the president grace to work this out, or do you think it will work it out within, you know, 6 to 9 months?
Great question. And I believe that it's already been working out. And one of the most important things to understand is there's two different aspects and frameworks for what you taught about tariff strategy. Number one would be protectionism and isolationism. And that's something that all economists agree is not good for your economy.
Right.
And the Trump administration has made full focus and put it out that that is not their intent. Their intent is to play strategy.
Right.
And the all economists, most important American economists in the history of our country that developed the MBA, as we know it, Michael Porter, has said that it's not good to play business and play protectionism, but it is good to use tariffs to change your strategy, especially when the country has not been treated fairly or has the raw end of the deal. Well, right now, we have to find a way to reset. We have to restructure, or the country is not going to survive. The American workers' wages are going to continue to go down like they have the last 4 years, and the cost of the goods that we buy will continue to go up. This reset is temporary, and you can already see the changes. We saw jobs on Friday announced. It was a surprise to me. I didn't expect jobs to go up by what it did. I expected it to actually go down, because I do listen to the mainstream legacy media.
Yeah,
and sometimes
that was your mistake.
Some of the crap they're putting. Yeah, I shouldn't listen to it. But they were expecting and proposing the jobs go down. You know, the Fed did not lower the rate, as President Trump has made a call continuously to do. And I know that's political, because they did the call and they did the rate change for the Biden-Harris administration so they could get reelected. But they won't make it when the country desperately needs it. I know that's political, and that's just Washington, where they play the game, and you have to play politics. Right now, even with the rate not coming down, even though inflation has subsided, we still added jobs.
Right.
We are busier than ever. Our phones are ringing off the hook. And we went from a business that was losing a tremendous amount of money, laying people off, finding a way to possibly exit this business, to going back into growth phase, trying to find out how we can grow. We're recruiting people again, and we're selling more Corvettes than ever. Last month, we had a record month. We sold 81 Corvettes, which is the highest I've ever sold in my 30 years of doing business.
Wow. Well, Douglas, I appreciate you joining us this evening. If folks are interested, if they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
The best way is to go to our website, CorvetteWarehouse.com. And under CorvetteWarehouse.com, you can click Meet the Owner. There's a link to buy the book. The book and the proceeds, all the proceeds go to veterans groups. I encourage everybody to take the opportunity to buy the book so we can help the veterans and desperately need your help.
I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
The pleasure is mine. Take care and God bless our country.
We'll and thank you for your service, too, by the way. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Every week, those folks are out there door knocking. They're making phone calls. They're engaging with folks all across the state on issues that matter. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city. If you want to get involved, you can make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And, of course, make sure while you're online that you, you know, like and follow John Whitmer Show. Follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. You know the drill. So, and of course, listen, tune in on Saturdays. We're now rebroadcasting this show every Saturday from 1 to 3.
So, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. It was funny driving home from the protests and hearing my own voice. I was like, oh, wait, what's that on? And then I remember.
So now you can say you were in two places at once.
Yes, I was. Kind of, sort of. Yeah. And actually, I'll be on tomorrow evening. Not here, but on Newsmax TV.
Okay, very
with Todd
good.
Starnes. Yeah, he called this afternoon, and they want to. There was. I don't know if you saw the picture that we posted of the guy with the severed head,
yeah.
The severed Trump head.
That's classy.
Yeah, bloody severed Trump head. If you want to see it, you can see the pictures of it on my Twitter feed, which is now upwards of 300,000 views, but this on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page as well. But this guy was carrying a severed Trump head with bloody and everything. And I posted it, and I guess the Todd Starnes saw it, and now he wants to interview me on Newsmax. So we're going to go do that tomorrow afternoon. So,
Keep it classy.
Oh, yeah. Keep lovely. Yeah. They're an interesting bunch. We'll play some.
I know we've got some stuff coming up next hour.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit more about this thing that they have going on. And it's on Saturdays.
Every Saturday they do this from at noon, you know, down at Nafziger Park or further down on Broadway. They did it Douglas and Broadway. This is where they were yesterday.
I see.
And, you know, the interesting thing, you see a lot of signs. The signs are, you know, everything from F this and F that, and Trump's a Nazi and Elon's a Nazi, and you know, and some of them are interesting signs and creative, and you see a lot of Nazi stuff. You know, this person's a Nazi, that person's a Nazi. A lot of Ukraine flags, a lot of rainbow flags, a lot of trans flags. What you don't see are any American flags. A lot of Mexican flags. Mm-hmm. Did not see a single American flag. Oh no, that's not true. I did see one upside down.
Upside down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not see a whole lot of American flags. Lots of the rainbow and trans stuff. Speaking of which, do you have that trans? Let me play. So this was an interesting conversation because I ended up talking to this gal, and she had a trans flag, and her sign said "Trans rights are human rights." And I always find that an interesting conversation. It was similar to one I had up in Lawrence with a guy who was talking about trans rights or human rights. And this girl had to sign, and she was, you know, one of the trans rights things and had the rainbow stuff. And and so I just wanted to ask her, and do we have that clip?
Let me
get it ready.
Yeah. Let me see what I can do here. Okay.
Yes. All right. You've got it. We'll play this. This is the conversation that I had with her on the streets downtown on Douglas.
You've got another sign that says trans rights are human rights. What do you think of, say, biological males competing in girls' sports?
I believe that people people should live as the gender that they feel internally. We put a lot of markers on what gender is based on dress, based on like body structure, but it's so much more nuanced than that. And the way that Trump is attacking gender as a whole is harmful to anyone who does not lie within his standards, and his standards are white Christian nationalists.
So what's your definition of a woman then?
A woman is actually, as someone who was
should be an easy question.
That gender, it's actually really hard to say.
No, it is.
You say assigned, you do not believe that you're biologically female or male at birth based on science or based on your biology. You believe that someone actually assigns that to you and therefore it's changeable?
Well, someone puts a little letter on my birth certificate and suddenly my whole life is affected based on that.
But that, so you say that it's that designation on the birth certificate, not actual scientific or biological facts?
I don't think gender is specifically scientific. It's like a sociological phenomenon.
So there is no biological or scientific certainty. It's all...
help some people feel very connected to their gender. Their sex can help them feel connected to their gender. But just the fact that intersex people exist means that there's more than two genders.
So there's the XY doesn't factor into it.
It's more than that.
Gotcha. Yeah. And do you believe it's fair for biological males to compete in women's sports?
I think it's fair to let trans women compete with other women.
Even though, and you believe a trans woman is a woman.
A trans woman is a woman, yes.
Interesting. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how, I mean, it seems pretty simple to me. You are what you are, but apparently her gender was determined by the guy putting a check mark next to a letter on a birth certificate, and that's how it's determined according to her. I don't understand that. That seems pretty far-fetched to me, but yeah. This is the mindset, though, and she firmly believed that, and this was what her firm belief was, and she wasn't trans. She just believed that because a doctor put an F or marked by the F instead of a mark by whatever, and heaven forbid that the doctor, you know, marked the wrong letter when she was born. I don't know. Yeah. We'll take a quick break, and then after the top of the hour break, former Governor Jeff Collier, who was the state chair for the Trump reelection campaign, will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show social media pages, you know, Facebook and True Social, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. President Trump, in an exclusive interview on Meet the Press earlier this week, outlined the historic success of his first 100 days. He said he charted the course for many more victories to come. The president said he sent a clear message. He will not relent in his mandate to secure our borders, rid our country of dangerous criminals, lower prices, end the globalist trade policies that have ripped off American workers and businesses for decades, and make America great again. Pretty much promises made, promises kept. With us now to kind of say whether or not he agrees with the president's synopsis of his first 100 days is former Governor Dr. Jeff Collier, who was state chair of the president's 2024 election campaign. Dr. Collier, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show again. And for the record, I wish that you or Derek were governor right now. It would sure make things a whole heck of a lot easier in Kansas.
Oh, boy. Would we be moving jobs? Would we be moving this state ahead?
And by the way, we'd have real school choice. We'd have lower taxes. I mean, it's just an ad nauseum list of things that would be better for Kansans. But, you know
they can't even tell us how many employees are working from home.
No.
Coming to the office every day.
No.
You know, it's ridiculous. People, you know, taxpayers expect people to show up. You know, if we're spending tax dollars on you, you need to show up to work and every day. It's just amazing some of the things that are still going on, both on the state level and what President Trump is showing on the federal level.
Yeah.
You know, he's really working on draining the swamp. A lot of the oxygen's been sucked out of the air over tariffs and things like that. But we ought to talk about all of the hundreds of different things that the president has done. You know, well north of 100 executive orders on this. And I've been involved in a bunch of transitions, a couple presidential, three gubernatorial ones. And believe me, this is the biggest and best transition I've ever seen. You know, more has happened in the last 100 days than I can think of three or four transitions combined.
Well, certainly, I think the easiest one is immigration. I mean, if you look at just the absolute, it's like 98% reduction in border crossings, in captures, in gotaways. I mean, the numbers are staggering. If nothing else, you can look at the pictures. If you look at just the pictures of those parts of Texas from just a year ago under Biden versus today, it looks like somebody... I mean, it looks like parkland now. It's grassy area. The grass is back. The trees are back. A year ago at this time, it was, you know, a small migrant town, and now it's a park again. It's amazing.
It is truly amazing. You know, it just puts the lie that many of our Democratic friends are putting on us, that we have to pass a law. We have to
right.
have comprehensive immigration reform. No, you secure the border. And that is a federal responsibility, which Biden clearly neglected and clearly encouraged people to come across the border. And so to lock it down is important. Now we've got to continue the job. And, you know, the president, you know, has really shown, you know, how easily you can do that with leadership and by making the right policies. You know, the president has been working on a whole lot of different things in addition to, you know, to immigration. You know, one of the things is slashing regulations. The data says that under the Biden years, a family of four is going to have about $3,000 per person in new regulations every year. And what the president's doing is he's having, for every new regulation, there are 10 out.
Right.
And that's going to save families thousands of dollars in extraneous costs. It's going to, you know, push this down over the next few years. That's going to be huge, you know, because, you know, the administrative state has kind of gotten control of things. And we see it both on the state level and on the federal level. The government just kind of runs itself. And the way it runs itself is let's turn out new regulations, make things more difficult. And no wonder we have energy problems. No wonder we have healthcare problems. No wonder we have immigration problems. It's the system, you know, has got too many regulations. They don't make sense. They're punitive.
Right.
And the president is changing that. And that's going to be I think that's going to be one of the most important long-term things that the president's going to do.
We're talking with former Governor Dr. Jeff Collier, who was Kansas state chair for President Trump's 2024 election campaign. Dr. Collier, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you saw the interview that the president did with Kristen Welker, but it was so interesting how the left is really trying to figure out how they can gotcha question this president as if they haven't learned their lesson yet. But one of the things that I found most amusing is she tried to catch him on the economy. And, you know, they can't hit him on eggs anymore because the price of eggs is now dropped remarkably. So, you know, she brought up the fact that, well, some clothes, and I'm quote paraphrasing here, but she basically said some clothes are going to cost more and some items are going to cost more and some things may cost more. And she brought up the doll analogy that he used. And he said, are you kidding me? The price of gasoline has gone from $6, $7, $8 a gallon to less than $2 a gallon. And you're asking me about a couple of different styles of clothing? I mean, these people are just so desperate to try and get him on anything. It's like if there's any one product line that happens to be slightly more expensive, oh, then the sky is falling and Donald Trump is to blame. But when everything else seems to be turning in the right direction, they're blind to it.
Well, you know, under Biden, things got way more expensive.
Everything did. Okay. Yes.
Everything did. And, you know, if you go to McDonald's, it's pretty easy to spend $10, $14 on one meal,
right?
For one person at McDonald's. That happened under Biden. And that's because of regulation. It's because of increased energy costs. It's just up and down the line here. And the president is trying to drive down costs over the next few years. And it's a big hole we're in. And, you know, we've stopped digging. Now we're starting to fill it in. You know, and one of the ways that the president is filling in is, you know, we have $45 trillion in natural resources in the United States. Making that accessible, you know, making that accessible for mining and drilling, that's a huge thing. You know, that actually helps Kansans.
Right.
You know, Kansas is the eighth largest oil and gas state. And if we can produce more of our own oil and natural gas and sell it, that helps our state's economy immensely. You know, if we can also manufacture more aircraft, more manufacturing in Kansas, we do much better. And that's what the president's, you know, fight about tariffs is about, is, you know, let's make these things here. Let's make us an exporter again rather than just a net importer. And is for so many years, for so many decades, this has been ignored, all of the cheating that goes on, you know. We actually, you know, for example, we sell more cheese to Guatemala than we do to the European Union. And that's cheese that's made in Kansas, by the way. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? It's because of these regulations that are right on there. And so, you know, by doing that, by having higher value, better paying jobs here and driving down the costs of things, we're going to be in a much better place. It's going to take some time. Let's not kid ourselves. It does take time, but, you know, I think we're starting on the right track.
Well, Governor, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on a Sunday evening. I do have to ask. I mean, it is incumbent upon me to do this. I'm fairly certain the answer that I'm going to get, but, you know, if I don't ask, then my producer and my boss here at the station are going to give me a hard time. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation right now. There's, what, you know, I don't know, 8 to 10 different people who are at this point thinking about or toying with the idea of running for governor. Your name has come up in that conversation. Have you, you know, am I seeing a Collier for Governor website cropping up? I'm about to ask you if they want to connect with you. Is it Collier for Governor that they connect you with, or are you still weighing it and praying about it, quote unquote?
You know, we're looking at
this. Yeah, we go.
Of course we are. And, you know, actually, President Trump really, you know, he really brought it forward, which was, you know, when you're president number 45 and then you're 47, you can hit the ground running.
Yes.
And as lieutenant governor, we actually hit the ground running. And when I left Kansas government, we had 1,448,000 Kansans working, more than any other time in history. We had 50 years of school finance lawsuits, and I fully funded schools. I actually put in billions of dollars, solved that problem without raising taxes, and we did it because we privatized the Medicaid program and actually made it more efficient. And that's still throwing off $1 billion a year. I gave Laura Kelly a $900 million surplus, more Kansans working than ever before. And believe me, it's going backwards. And I won't stand for it.
Well, I like hearing that. I like hearing that you won't stand for it, because I do think there is something to be said for that level of experience. And Lord knows it's going to be a crowded field. So when you do make a decision, you'll have to let me know so we can have you come back on the show.
You will be one of the first, my friend. You will be one of the first to know.
Doc, if folks want to connect with you until there's a Collier, or if there's a Collier for governor or whatever it is, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah. We don't have a website up right now.
So he's working on it. So there you go. So, here's what they can call me, and I know how to get in touch with you. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely. Any friend of John Whitmer's is a friend of mine.
We're recording that, by the way. We're going to keep that for posterity. Governor, thank you again. I appreciate you. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
It's great talking to you, John.
Thank you,
sir. Happy Star Wars Day.
Yes, yes. May the 4th be with you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then my buddy Andy Hoosier, the guy who gave me a start in radio, will join us. And we're going to play some of our man on the street interviews from yesterday with some of the anti-Trump protesters who've been gathering in downtown Wichita over the past few months. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. I should point out this music is not related to Andy Hoosier, but to the people we're talking about, just so you know. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I just had to. I mean, you spend any time with these folks, this music is very apropos, trust me. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at AmericansForProsperity.com. AFP believes in freedom and opportunity. Those are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org in order to sign up and make your voice heard. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and True Social page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, protesters have been flooding the streets of downtown Wichita over the last couple of months, either at Nassiger Park or right downtown at Douglas and Washington. Douglas and Broadway, rather. Why? Well, who knows? We've had as many as 1,000, 1,200 protesters on and off over the past couple of months. This last Saturday, my buddy Andy and I, who, by the way, Andy Hoosier, the host of the Voice of Reason, a nationally broadcast show, he and I decided to go down, and I owe my whole start on radio to Andy Hoosier. We decided to go down on Saturday and talk to some of the folks who've been protesting, and Andy joins us now. Andy, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Yeah, good to talk to you, John. Yeah, I do think that music is appropriate for both the
yes.
protests and maybe for my show just a little bit as well. So it's okay. But yeah, that's okay. But yeah, it was definitely appropriate for what we encountered down there at the protest this weekend.
Yeah, you know, Phil and I were talking last hour, and you know, I noticed as I'm telling him, you know, I saw a bunch of trans flags, rainbow flags, Mexican flags, Ukrainian flags,
Palestinian. Yeah.
Palestinian, yes. I forgot the Palestinian flags. But, you know, the only American flag I saw was the guy carrying one upside down. It's just so interesting and so very un-American. We've got about a half a dozen or so clips that I want to play, and then you and I can kind of talk about it. The first one is from this lady represents an organization that is constantly out there campaigning and advocating as if they're quote unquote nonpartisan. She's from Women for Kansas. And this is actually one of the people that you talked to.
But I'm a part of an organization called Women for Kansas, which is a statewide organization. And our issue between now and August of 2026 is we will be asking for grants and spending money on, just like we did on the constitutional amendment to support abortion rights, and we will be supporting do not elect Supreme Court judges.
Okay, how come?
We used to elect Supreme Court judges.
Long
and it
pause
was so corrupt,
there. Long pause.
They changed it. So that ought
I don't
to
know
tell
why.
You where we're headed when you elect Supreme Court judges.
Gotcha. What's the system we have now?
There is a panel of, I'm not 100%, I have all these rights.
Again, can't answer.
So there's a panel of lawyers that get together, there's a group, and they They eliminate, they get three people, three judges, three whatever, three people. And then it goes to the governor, and the governor picks among those three people.
And do you think that's a proper representation of the people of Kansas, having a group of lawyers?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Because they know.
They know the legal side.
They know who's qualified, number one. I mean, you probably don't even have to have a law degree to be a Supreme Court judge, I'm guessing.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to have one to be a Supreme Court judge.
Yeah. So we have the state legislature that's overwhelmingly Republican, and then we have the governorship that kind of goes back and forth. And our current Supreme Court has had the most amount of overturned cases in higher courts than any other state Supreme Court in the nation.
That is not true. We have not had the most overturned cases. If I had my sheet,
that actually is true.
I would tell you, and if you want me to send it to you, I can.
So not electing Supreme Court justice, is there another alternative of doing maybe what we do at the federal level? Having the governor nominate someone that goes through a confirmation hearing with the Senate and do that kind of process.
I don't know. I really have an opinion on that because I haven't studied that or really known that. You know, I'm not going to speak just off the cuff on something I haven't researched. But
She really knew her stuff, didn't she, Andy?
That's the thing, John. She's supposed to be this leading fighter that we're going to stop the change of the process of our Supreme Court nominees, but couldn't remember the process that we currently had to pull it out of her you-know-what to say that she somehow is an expert on this and that that's a proper representation. Imagine that, John, that we get to the point that a handful of lawyers from a bar association is a true representation of the mindset of people in Kansas to nominate people for the Supreme Court for the governor to pick. And that's a legit process that has transparency that represents the people of Kansas. And when asked about the federal side, she had no clue what that process even was. Like, who are these people that think that they're the experts on Kansas policy?
Andy, this lady didn't even think that judges should have law degrees. The Supreme Court. I mean, this woman. I mean, I was shocked when I heard that interview. I don't know how you kept a straight face during that interview, but I'm sitting here just thinking, you know, oh my God.
Well, we both had this different style to try and interview these people. Me, with the, of course, the appearance that I have, I tried to blend in a little bit more with these individuals to let them let their guard down and think that I'm on their side, to ask them questions that would back them into these corners. So when I ask them the most absurd, ridiculous questions, they just gush over it and they love it because they think that we're just all about it and that we're just going to sing roses together. I mean, it's insane to watch these people.
Oh, it was entertaining. So this next one, I had the conversation with him, and he, you know, this was his sign was, well, apparently Trump's a tyrant.
Your sign says stand, fight against tyranny. How is Donald Trump a tyrant?
Well, for one thing, is all his executive orders. Defund PBS. Get rid of it. PBS and NPR. Get the New York Times. The 60 Minutes. Because somebody said something negative about the risen Christ. The perfect man. The risen Jesus. The new Donald Trump.
So you oppose the executive orders? Just too many of them?
Not only that, most of them.
So what about when Joe Biden signed all of his executive orders on his first day?
He didn't sign nearly as many as Trump did. Trump has signed
close to it.
Orders.
So when Joe Biden in his first day in office signed 100 executive orders, did you oppose those executive orders?
Most of those were done to undo what Trump had done in his first term.
And if most of Donald Trump's are to undo Joe Biden's, are those right or wrong?
I would just like you people to know that an 80-year-old woman can control her sex life.
And I would say it's none of my business.
Well,
but
there you go. An 80-year-old woman can control her sex life. That I don't know where that came from, but yeah, this was that conversation. And Andy, I don't know why. Personally, I don't know why she chose to share that. But you can see how the double standard doesn't apply to these folks.
Well, it's not only the double standard. It is the true fact that we experience the TDS before our eyes, the illness,
yes,
the disease, and the virus of Trump derangement syndrome, because what they said they were fighting for were things that fighting against, at least, Democrats have done forever. Trump's actually doing what they're saying that they want to see done, but they don't want it done because Trump's the one doing it. They would rather see the country burn and go down with Trump not doing the same policies that they actually are calling for than actually watch Donald Trump succeed in doing it, because Trump's doing it the wrong way. So they want it done. They just don't want Donald Trump to be the one to actually make it happen.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned, by the way, we're talking with my buddy Andy Hoosier from the Voice of Reason. Let me play this next one. I'm glad you mentioned Trump derangement syndrome, because this is another one that you talked to. And this was about Nazism. And you know, everything's Nazism and Nazism, but of course they can't define what Nazism is.
My main issue on the other side, on the other side of it, is the Nazis, the people that are feeling empowered to say racist things, anti-Semitic things about immigrants, about people that, you know, like I said, haven't had their day in court.
So anti-Semitism an issue for you?
Anti-Semitism is an issue in general, but right now with what's going on with Palestine, with what's going on around the country, it's not the main focus of anything. I understand that that's something that people that feel that way, people that I consider Nazis.
What's a Nazi to you? But just as a definite, your definition of a Nazi.
So a Nazi to me is, I mean, it's hard to describe exactly outside of just saying what a Nazi was in Germany around World War II. But a Nazi to me today definitely would be someone that's anti-Semitic, but someone that feels that way is not only anti-Semitic, they're going to be racist, they're going to be doing a lot of the, they're going to have a lot of the same feelings that Republicans do, in my opinion, right now.
Going to have a lot of the same feelings Republicans do. That's a Nazi.
That's
apparently.
Right. So apparently I loved his response because he said that anti-Semitism was the definition of being a Nazi, but the idea of anti-Semitism wasn't the biggest issue that's bothering him right now.
Right.
Because that's not a big focus for him right now, but he has a sign saying he's fighting against Nazism that he defines as anti-Semitism, even though anti-Semitism's not a big issue to him
right
now. From the party who's being the most anti-Semitic we've ever seen since World War II.
Yes.
Because they're literally beating up Jewish students and keeping Jewish students from going to class, beating up Jewish professors at universities, and holding hell because they're saying river to the sea and to end Israel. But anti-Semitism isn't a big deal to him, even though that's his definition of Nazism that he's fighting at this protest. John, my brain hurts, man.
These people
are absolutely insane.
Oh, I know. And again, they don't see the double standard. I had a Nazi. Same thing, guy. The guy with the sign with Elon Musk, because, you know, Elon at one point at a rally made a gesture. And of course, Kamala's made the same gesture. We've seen a dozen Democrats who've made the same gesture. It was just a gesture. He was shouting. He was excited and he happened to put his arm up. Oh my God. Heaven forbid. But, you know, he put his arm up. So that was this guy's sign, was the picture of Elon Musk with his arm up and then the red X through it. And the guy says, Elon Musk is a Nazi.
Maybe it's because he has 14 kids.
So because he has 14 kids, he's a Nazi.
And maybe it's because he just goes in there and cuts off aid to homeless, to all kinds of federal agencies. He's self-selecting, well, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What am I talking about?
The Doge cuts. So because of the Doge cuts, that makes him a Nazi.
What's wrong with the Doge cuts?
Nothing.
It's eugenics. Eugenics is why he has 14 kids, because he thinks the white race is dying and they're not having enough children, so he wants to have more white children.
I appreciate the feedback. Thank you.
So because he has 14 kids and he cuts Doge cuts, he's a Nazi.
That's right. He's a Nazi. Look, John, this is the rhetoric that made them lose the election.
Yes.
And right now, I've said it many times on my radio program as well. I know you have, too, that the Democrat Party right now is going through an identity crisis. Now, John, we've banned most of the identities of what they've tried to identify as before. So they're trying to go through this new movement of recognizing their issues, almost going to like an AA. We have to admit that there's a problem before we can start fixing the problem. They've admitted something's wrong, but they haven't quite put their finger on the pulse of what that is. And right now that is the rhetoric that they spread, because it's not working. It's ridiculous.
Andy, you know how this works. I've pushed my bottom of the hour break real. Can I go to a quick break and then we come back and do a couple more?
You betcha. Let's do it.
All right. We'll stick around, folks. We'll be right back. We're talking to Andy Hoosier, and we'll come back. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is my buddy Andy Hoosier, from the Voice of Reason. So Andy, you know, some of the other folks that we talked to, one of the main things that I think came up as we talked to the protesters down there in downtown Wichita yesterday, was deportations. And at least the folks that I talked to, the overriding theme was, you know, that it's unfair, it's mean, how dare we send these people back? This was a conversation that you had with someone about deportations.
What are you guys protesting today?
We're out protesting the Donald Trump presidency and or regime.
Okay, anything specifically?
Yeah, a lot of the policies he's put in place, specifically those against immigrants. I don't think it's right to send people out of the country without due process, especially to another country that they weren't from. Right now, it's specifically towards Donald Trump because he's the one in power right now.
Okay.
In the past, or that's being done outside of America, it should be protested against also if it's along those realms. But right now, we're focusing on what we can.
So when Barack Obama did it, when George Bush did it, was it the same issue?
Well, I didn't look into it as much when they did it, but I imagine they've done due process. I don't know if that's something you can disprove me on.
It's really convenient, isn't it? It didn't notice it when Joe Biden or Barack Obama did it.
Yeah, I love that. That's always their excuse as well. We weren't really looking into it at that time. We don't really know what's going on at that time with Barack Obama or with George Bush. But we know right now, by golly, John, that it's a lack of due process to send people that are here illegally committing crimes out of the country without their due process. And we don't know if it happened before, because I wanted to, and we didn't, it got so loud we didn't get to talk to him about it, but I wanted to ask about, you know, the separating the children at the border and separating families were the buildings that were built by the Barack Obama administration, and right, how many he actually deported then as well. But of course, then they didn't know about it. They weren't looking into it at the time, but now it's a major issue, and it's why they're out there fighting for democracy.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a woman who was so mad that Donald Trump deported three American citizens. And I said, you mean the children? And she said, yes, how could he? And I said, well, because the mother took them with her. Oh, well, that doesn't matter. And I said, well, what was he supposed to do? Separate the children? Well, he can't do that. I said, exactly, which is why he sent them with her when she wanted.
That's,
I mean,
it,
they did, you know, the whole thing. And of course, which led to this conversation I had with a protester who thinks that we should impeach Donald Trump.
Let me see. I'm going to ask you about your sign, if you don't mind. It says he's corrupt. He's destroying us. He's profiting from it. Make you pay. Impeach Trump. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, what has Donald Trump done that is an impeachable offense?
He breathes. That's impeachable.
He breathes. That's impeachable.
No, what he's done is destroying our country.
But what specifically has he done that's impeachable?
Oh, let's see. He's deported thousands of people, including American citizens.
Which American citizens has he deported?
I don't know their names. I don't want to talk.
But now he doesn't want to talk.
No, I don't want to.
Okay, I appreciate your time.
Now he doesn't want to talk. He breathes, Andy. He breathes.
This is the dehumanization of Donald Trump, the TDS that's running rampant.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he does. He could be saving world peace, which is what he did in the first administration, which is what he's doing again right now. It doesn't matter. He breathes, and therefore he is the worst human being on the face of the earth. John, the only way that people would have that mindset is if there was a mainstream media outlet that would be telling him that kind of rhetoric with no substantial evidence behind it whatsoever. That's what leads to violence in the streets, and it was pretty close to what we saw down there this weekend.
Well, and that guy, by the way, is the guy who was carrying the Donald Trump bloodied severed head. The picture that I've posted on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and that I have posted on Twitter, which are X, by the way. And by the way, that tweet, I will look. I'm looking now to see where we're at, because at the start of the show, we were at, at the start of the show, we were at 265,000 views. We're now at 290,000 views. This is the guy who was carrying the bloodied severed head of Donald Trump. And he's impeachable because he's breathing. This is their mind. You're right. It is Trump derangement syndrome.
Well, it is. And I mean, this goes after what we saw in the first administration, you know, Kathy Griffin that had the decapitated head,
yep,
the Broadway theater performance that was the impersonation of assassinating Donald Trump as the leader. We had Madonna calling for blowing up the White House. We had people that say they want to kick his, you know what, behind the office. You know, this is the ongoing rhetoric, because to them, violence justifies the means. If we can stop the tyrant by being tyrannical, then we save democracy because we're stopping a tyrant from being tyrannical by being tyrants ourselves. This is their mindset, and the ends justify the means. So they don't care. They have lost all common sense, and they've lost all humanity. That makes me very sad because I like to have dialogues from the other side, and you can't reason with these people.
No, and that is the one thing that I took away from it is there's just not a whole lot of conversation to be had. I mean, occasionally I would find there were one or two people that I did have pleasant conversations with. We disagreed, but we actually, if you bothered to talk to them, you could occasionally find some common ground. But by and large, there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of vitriol. There's just no room for even trying to find common ground. And they don't want to find common ground.
No, they don't. And that's unfortunate because, I mean, we've talked about it. The other side for the longest time said we needed to do this. Is when Joe Biden was in office, we need to come back together. We need to have dialogue. We need to move forward as a nation, stop being so divisive, because the right wing, we're just clinging to our guns and our Bibles and how terrible that we are, looking to start a new civil war and rise up against the government, which isn't the case. We can see how violent they are. I like dialogue. I like having a debate. And I've said many times before that, like you said, John, it's, I can respect someone if I can understand how they get to their end game from point A to point B, what their logic actually looks like. I can respect it. I may not agree with it, but I can respect what the stance that they actually take on an issue. These individuals, and again, I would ask them questions that would try to back them into a corner, and they would fall for it every time, and they would talk in circles. That shows that they don't have one single individual, unique, original thought at all. It's regurgitation of talking points, and when challenged on it, they cower, they walk away, or they get angry. And it's very evident. And, I mean, these are people that you'll never be able to change their mind because they're too emotionally involved.
Yep, you nailed it right there, brother. Andy, again, I appreciate it. And thank you, by the way. I would not have this seat behind this microphone if I hadn't had the first seat subbing for you behind your microphone. If folks are interested, if they want to connect with you, they can find you at HoosierRegion.com, correct?
That's it. Yeah, congratulations on the show, man. I'm glad it's going well. Yeah, HoosierReason.com. You can find my list of all my great radio affiliates that are growing every week. We're having a lot of fun with that. And the podcast links, all our great social media. We have our blog that I just wrote actually on this issue on how to fight the illness of TDS. That's about ready to come out tomorrow morning. So that'll be a fun one. But congrats on everything, man. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, my friend. We'll take a quick break and pay a few bills. And then Corey DeAngelis, senior fellow at the American Culture Project, will be with us to discuss this last week's Supreme Court hearing on a case on religious charter schools to address the, well, frankly, to see whether or not we might actually finally get real school choice in America. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. Don't forget, if you're looking for a way to get involved, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And of course, when you're online, like and follow the John Whitmer Show and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments this week in a case regarding religious charter schools, specifically focusing on the constitutionality of states funding religious charter schools. The case centers around Oklahoma's approval of St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School, which would be the nation's first publicly funded religious charter school. The Supreme Court's decision could have significant implication for states and the funding of public education. With us now is Corey DeAngelis. He is a senior fellow at the American Culture Project and a visiting fellow at the American Institute for Economic Research. Corey, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So the Oklahoma Statewide Charter School Board versus Drummond case challenges Oklahoma's decision, basically, and they're saying, you know, it's challenging the approval of this charter school, which would make it the first publicly funded religious charter school in the country, correct?
Yes, that's exactly right. I think we're going to win this case. It's pretty clear cut. In 2020, there was a Supreme Court case called Espinoza v. Montana, dealing with the school choice program, and we won that case. And Chief Justice John Roberts, who's the swing vote apparently in this current case, had said at the time, quote, a state need not subsidize private education, but once it decides to do so, it cannot exclude schools solely because they are religious, end quote. That's exactly what Oklahoma is doing. So they initially approved the Catholic charter school, and then the attorney general sued and tried to stop it. And the attorney general is a total hypocrite, by the way. He sent his own kids to private school, a religious school, and now he's fighting against other families having that same kind of opportunity. And so they ended up reversing the decision and getting rid of that charter school and didn't grant them the ability to open because they were religious. So this is simple discrimination. It's a violation of the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. And I think we're going to win the case 5-3. You may be wondering, why doesn't that add up to 9? Well, Amy Coney Barrett recused herself from this case because of her affiliation with Notre Dame University and the people that work there. So I think we don't need her vote anyway. So it should be a 5-3 decision with the 3 liberals siding against religious families and schools. But yeah, I think we're going to win, and that'll open up the door to religious charter schools basically all across the country. I think there's about 47 or 48 states that have charter school laws on the books, North Dakota being a new state to add charter schools this year. And that's going to unleash education freedom. You'll have more options on the table than you had before, which now will include religious options once it goes our way. And the real reason that this had to go to the Supreme Court, the question at hand is whether a charter school in a locality is a government-run institution.
Right.
And there are some places that have government-run charter schools, including in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They have some that are run by the government. But the one question in Oklahoma, they're privately operated. Just because you have a public label in your state on a charter school doesn't make it a government-run institution. So, again, I think it'll go our way. It's another win on school choice, or will be, coming off after we've had 16 states now just at the governor's mansion yesterday in Texas with Governor Greg Abbott signing into law the biggest day one school choice victory in U.S. history. We just got a universal school choice bill across the finish line in Texas. That's the 16th state to do so. They're all red states in the past 4 years. So there's a lot of momentum. The wind is at our backs. And it's a great time to be a school choice advocate.
We'll of course need to fix our governor's race, our governor's mansion rather, and to get that here, yep, in Kansas, because with Laura Kelly, that'll never happen. But the key here is, you know, whether or not states can fund these religious charter schools without violating the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, which prohibits the, yep, government from establishing or endorsing a religion. That's why this is such a key decision, because if the Supreme Court sides with them, it then would allow that. And I don't think this does in any way violate the Establishment Clause, does it? Because you're not endorsing a particular, yeah, religion, as long as the state doesn't say, well, we will fund the Catholic school but not the Muslim school, for example, then it would. But otherwise, yeah. Yeah. It's not, correct?
Exactly. So they have to, you know, the ruling would say that you cannot pick and choose which religions are okay and which are not. That,
right,
would be a violation of the Establishment Clause. That would be the government putting their thumb on the scale and saying we can only have Catholic schools. That's not it. That's not the issue here in this case. They're saying you are a Catholic school, so therefore you are religious and you cannot open. So it would open the door for all types of religious schools to open, which currently is okay in the pure private sector today. You can have private religious schools of all types. So it wouldn't change that, but it would change it for the charter schools within different states. So that's one case. There was another case last week or 2 weeks, or the week before this one, a couple weeks ago, that came out of Maryland, of all places, and had to do with allowing families to opt out of gender ideology.
Yes, I saw this story. That was a huge story because the difference in most of these is it's opt-in. This is the state wasn't allowing kids to opt out of this stuff.
Exactly, and they used to. Right. The district used to allow families to do it. They got lobbied by the trans groups, I guess. And now they force families to have their kids in these institutions they vehemently disagree with that goes against their deeply held religious beliefs. I'd say the government school system itself discriminates against religious families all across the country, even without these kind of classes, because you got to make a choice, and the choice to not have religion, that goes against families' deeply held religious beliefs too. If they want to raise their kids with a religious moral compass and worldview, you can't send your kids to the government schools. You have to pay out of pocket, and that's not fair to religious families. So I think they should take it a step further and not just allow the families to opt out of the system. They should also be able to take their money with them to a private school that aligns with their values. That would have a far-reaching impact of having school choice all across the country. I don't think that'll be where the decision goes with that case, but at the very least, the families are going to be able to opt out. I think it even goes 7-2 maybe with Kagan showing some sympathy for the families of one of the liberal justices on that decision.
I think you're right. I watched bits of the coverage of that, and I think you're right. I think they're gonna side with that one as well. Corey, I appreciate you. Thanks again. I know it was kind of a last minute for when I reached out to you via Twitter to have you come on, but I appreciate you coming on. If folks want to reach out, I know you've got a book out, The Parent Revolution, Rescuing Your Kids from the Radicals Running Our Schools. That's available on Amazon. And if folks want to connect with you, they can find you on X at DeAngelis Corey, correct?
Absolutely. And that book was endorsed by Trump and hit the USA Today bestseller list. And it's 50% off on Amazon right now. They only have a few available at that price. So if you want to check it out, The Parent Revolution.
Brother, I appreciate you as always. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Yes, likewise. Appreciate you. You know, folks, we're up against the top of the hour. I appreciate you. Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget, this show, it will be rebroadcast. We're starting that again. We started it just yesterday. So you can now catch the John Whitmer Show rebroadcast on Saturdays from 1 to 3. And we've got a bunch of new stuff coming up, great guests coming up. Former Senator Phil Graham will be with us next Sunday. And we got a few other major guests that I'm not going to tell you about right now. And don't forget to join me tomorrow night at 5 o'clock on Newsmax TV. I will be on the Todd Starnes show talking about the protests yesterday. Just crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy.
I wish I could have been a third wheel there with you.
Well, the next time we go, you'll have to come with us.
You and Andy, that could be really interesting.
Yeah, we brought a buddy of mine, Jason Carmichael, came with us and took some pictures, and it was kind of fun having a body man, for lack of a better term, just because some of the people were getting a little pushy and a little crazy, because you know, they also know I'm here. And I'm the chair of Sedgwick County Republican Party. So there was one guy who was kind of going around and said, "Don't talk to him. He's a Republican. Don't talk to him." Yeah, there you go. Don't talk to me because I happen to disagree with you. But I was being polite the whole time. The tolerant left once again. Thanks for joining us. See you next week. In the meantime, carry on.